Broadcasting live from beautiful, historic Marion, Ohio, it's Now with Scott Spears on WWGH 107.1 FM. Call Scott live on the air anytime at 740-383-9944. No topic is too big or too small. I'm your announcer, the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. And now, here's your host, Scott Spears.
Thank you, man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. Scott Spears coming at you today, Wednesday, October the 20th, 2021. 10:20:21, 18 and a half minutes past the hour, and we have got a first hour for you this morning that no television fan will want to miss. Without question, the most celebrated historic television program in the history of the medium is I Love Lucy. I Love Lucy set the way, set the bar for how the television sitcom is done, and somewhere in the world right now, I Love Lucy is playing. If you did not hear the news last week, I Love Lucy premiered October 15th, 1951. That means October 15th, 2021 marked the 70th anniversary of the debut of this historic program. Of course, Lucille Ball went on to do many other projects, including The Lucy Show, Here's Lucy, Life with Lucy, Stone Pillow, and worked up until her passing in 1989. Today, we're joined by a fine lady who knew Lucille Ball very well. She was her personal assistant for 28 years, the last 28 years of her life. She is Wanda Clark. Before we go live to Wanda, though, in celebration of the 70 years this month of the debut of I Love Lucy, we have to play that historic song. So take a listen. Go back in time. What memories does that bring back? Hard to believe, 70 years ago this month. And now to learn about a great lady, share some memories of a great lady, another great lady, Wanda Clark. Wanda, how are you?
Oh, I'm just fine. It's so nice to hear from you. I was listening to your weather report, though, before we started talking. It's exactly what we're hearing here in Northeast Oklahoma.
You know, the moon last night I hear around here was just tremendous. I didn't get a chance to see it, but it's something nice to be here in the Midwest in the fall.
Oh, it really is. It's still green, though. We've had so much rain that the grass is still green. Usually by this time of the year, it's brown, but we're still very green. And a little late in the leaves changing, but when I finally quit work, after we closed Lucy's office, I had some other great jobs, and I've stayed in Los Angeles until 2004, and my sister saw my little house here on the lake from her boat, and I bought my little house way before I quit work, just knowing I couldn't live in L.A. on retirement income. So anyway, I bought my little house here on the lake to have when I finally quit work and moved back to Oklahoma from Los Angeles. Mm. And it's a wonderful place to live.
That's the way to spend retirement, in a place you like, in an area you like.
It is. And plus, I have sisters. I'm the oldest of four girls, and it's nice to be close to my sisters at this time.
Absolutely. You know, Wanda, your name's the first one that popped in my head last week when I saw the magazines and saw all the coverage of I Love Lucy's 70th anniversary of its debut in 1951. Does it seem to you like it's been 70 years?
Well, it does not. I don't know. Time passes so fast, and you don't know that until you get up there in years. But it's I had never seen an I Love Lucy show until I started working for Lucy. Now, I certainly knew who Lucille Ball was, but my folks didn't have a TV in the 50s. So when I happened just be in the right place at the right time and got the job with Lucy, it's when I started watching I Love Lucy's. And now, of course, I've seen all of them. I have the copies of the DVDs made from the I Love Lucy shows. But at the time, of course, I had not seen them. But it was a long and happy association, Scott. It was really a wonderful chance when I happened to go to California in 1960.
Now, Wanda, how long were you with Lucy? What were the years?
I started in 1963. And stayed there until when Lucy died. It took about a year to dissolve the company and close out the estate and the office. And I'm still in touch with her children. I'm still in touch with a few Lucy friends. And so I'm still considered Lucy's part of my life.
You know, so you came aboard when Lucy would have been doing the Lucy show, is that correct?
Yeah, it was the second season of the Lucy show. Oh, excuse me, Scott. I haven't been talking to anybody but my little poodle all morning, so. And, you know, have you listened to any of the Let's Talk to Lucy radio shows?
You know, I wanted to talk to you about that this morning, and I want the audience to know what has happened is that Lucille Ball, and I had never heard of this until about the last month, Lucille Ball, back in, I believe it was the 60s, recorded 10-minute interviews for CBS Radio with very high-profile celebrities, and she was the interviewer. And they are now playing some of those on Sirius XM Radio. I believe CBS Sunday Morning just did a profile on it. Did you remember these, Wanda? I'd never heard about these.
Oh, I remember them so well, Scott. It was 1964. And Lucy would take her tape recorder with her when she traveled, New York, San Francisco, or just around L.A. visiting her friends, seeing a play. She'd take that little tape recorder and go backstage and interview the stars. And often they fixed a little sound stage in the building on the Desilu lot where the kids had their school building. Because, you know, the children... minor actors had to have a certain number of school hours, even if they were working actors. And so the ones that she did in the studio, I got to be there too, listening. And, oh, they were so interesting. And to hear them again, do you know how long ago 1964 was? To hear them again and hear Lucy's voice and all the people she talked to. Just a few days ago, I listened to one with Tammy Grimes.
Well, she interviews.
Do you remember who Tammy is?
Oh,
Tammy was an actress, yeah.
And she interviews people like Frank Sinatra and Barbara Streisand. And the that got me was Vivian Vance. Were you there when she interviewed Vivian?
Oh, yes. And Vivian was a lovely woman. Lucy always called her the best script doctor in town. If something wasn't working on one of the shows, one of the scripts, those two ladies put their heads together and fixed it. They really were a wonderful team together.
Want to let the audience know
Scott, what was that?
No, I just wanted to let the audience know really quick that if you don't know the name Vivian Vance, that was Ethel Mertz on I Love Lucy.
Right.
you know what, when I'm listening to these tapes, what is fascinating to me, and I don't mean this in a bad way at all, but there's two things I picked up as Lucy's being an interviewer. Number one, she is very smart. She is very good at it. But you also get the impression that she knew that she was Lucille Ball, that she was in charge, that she didn't hold back anything. Is that the correct assumption to make?
Well, it is. Lucy was the hardest working woman I've ever known, and she was very, very smart. She didn't have an impressive education in her younger days, but she read. She knew everything that was going on. Anyway, I find listening to those tapes after all these years is so much fun for me. First of all, to hear Lucy's voice like that and to hear her talk to all those people. And some of the things she talks about were, you know, just everyday life. She always had a thing that she called the art of selfishness. She said, if you don't take care of yourself, you're not able to take care of anything else you want to do. And she was very much a proponent of that theory. And it's fun to listen to them after all these years.
Absolutely. Wanda, what was the job of a personal assistant to Lucille Ball?
Well, I would meet Lucy when she, in those early days, of course, she drove herself to the studio lot every day. So I'd meet her at the car, at the parking lot, and we'd go over the reminders of the day and instructions, and she'd go up to the office where they had the first table read, all the actors around the table and the director, and read the script for the week's show. And then they'd get on their feet in the afternoon and start rehearsing with scripts, of course. And they rehearsed 4 full days, full working days. In fact, Dean Martin they were very close friends, of course. And if you remember Dino, Desi, and Billy, they had their 2 sons were part of that little music group. But anyway, Dean would tell Lucy that she was going to kill him, because Dean would do his show, walk on the stage, sing a song, walk off the stage, and go play golf for the rest of the day. But Lucy would rehearse over and over and over, and then let's do it again. And Dean wasn't used to working that way. But they were such close friends because of many reasons, namely their children in the music group.
You know what?
Then on the 4th day, Thursday, they would do a dress rehearsal, and they'd break for dinner, and then they'd come back and film the show. And after all those days of rehearsing, it went so smoothly and so quickly, and our crew was usually finished and ready to go home by 8:30 or so, where some of the shows in those days were shooting until midnight. So Lucy's crew loved the fact that Lucy got her show done and over with fast. And then Lucy and Gary, after the show on Thursday night, they would head to the house in Palm Springs. And then she'd have the long weekend. And then with Monday morning, we'd start over again.
You know, Wanda, there's a lot of talk about Lucy being not difficult, but that she knew what she wanted, and she didn't mind telling cameramen and people on the set what she wanted. Was she like that? Was she demanding when it came to her shows?
Well, when it came to her shows, Lucy certainly did know exactly what she wanted and was prepared to do it. She wasn't demanding. She wasn't even a perfectionist. That's not a four-letter word, in my opinion. She knew what she wanted, and she knew more about camera lights than the cameramen did in some cases. And she was accused of being very bossy. on the set, you know, you're not, actors are not supposed to take direction from anyone except the director. Well, in Lucy's case, she had no, if she knew that actor should stand over there and say that line at this point, she would tell him, which didn't sit well with a few people. But most people knew it was Lucy, and she was right, and it was her show, and so it went very smoothly.
When it came to her work on these programs, how important was it for her to work at that time?
Lucy loved to work. I mean, on anything. Lucy, work and her family was what mattered to Lucy. And in fact, she wanted to work more than anything around that time. And she loved her work. And she was so perfect at, her timing was wonderful. And she had people with her, like Gail Gordon and Vivian Vance. Their timing was equal to Lucy's. I don't know how else to say it, but work was very important to Lucy. That's kind of one of the reasons she did that last series that really was not suitable for Lucy.
You know, I want to talk about this last series, Life with Lucy, 1986. I think it ran for 13 episodes. Over Christmas, somebody sent me a DVD of the entire run of this show. And when I'm watching it, it's very strange. Lucy's in her 70s, and Gail Gordon's in the show. And, I mean, Lucy's funny. I mean, she's funny, but did she know how bad the plots were and just that it wasn't exactly what she had done in the past?
Well, I think that's a very interesting question. Did she know? Well, Lucy would call Desi Arnaz for advice as long as Desi lived. And at that time, Desi was very, very ill. But I think had Lucy called him about this, he probably would have said, you can't do this, because Desi would, she knew that he would tell her the truth. Most everybody else, myself included, Scott, would say, well, whatever Lucy wants, we're going to do it. If she wanted that mountain moved, I would try to move it. But my point was, and I can't fault anybody, because Lucy, when they asked Lucy to come back to work, Aaron Spelling had a deal, and it was co-produced by Spelling and Lucille Ball Productions. Lucy said, well, if you get me my original writers, if you get Gail Gordon to come out of retirement, if you do this, that, and that. Well, they did it. They got all that together because Lucy insisted. But the script, Scott, I mean, her age, and she'd already done all these wonderful, quirky stunts and tricks so well, nobody could have done them better. But they could have made Lucy, I say they, writers, whatever, they could have made her president of the United States. They could have made her head of a network, TV, Glamour magazine, anything. But they put her in a hardware store with her, Lucy's daughter was married to Gail's son, I believe was the story, and they had some lovely children. And they shared a house because of some kind of family reason. And it just was an awful conception, in my opinion.
Well, you know, I thought exactly the same thing. When I'm watching the episodes, now I'm trying to place this in time. This show debuted in 1986. That's the year after Golden Girls had debuted on NBC to huge success. And it just seemed like maybe Lucy could have done something in that vein, but they had her up on shelves and in soap machines, and it was just very strange.
Yeah, but they were trying to do what Lucy wanted, what Lucy insisted upon, in fact. But it just was not. Lucy was still so glamorous, even in her 70s. She was still a very beautiful and glamorous person with the talent to do just about anything. Lucy was just remarkable in her talent. I'm so grateful that I got to see up close hand some of the movies she did during the time I was with her. Just was wonderful. Yours, Mine, and Ours. I was there for an awful lot of that filming. I didn't go on location, but anything done locally, I was there. And this last series, in fact, they filmed 13, but only aired 5 before they canceled. And that just broke Lucy's heart, because all the people, like it took like 150, maybe more people to put a 30-minute show together, filmed as the way Lucy filmed before a live audience. All those people were out of work, and some of them were her original cast members. Not too many at that time, but a few of them. And that just broke Lucy's heart that people were out of work, and the reviews were pretty bad. But that was that. I still think that Desi might have talked her out of that had he been alive well enough to say so.
You know, Wanda, also something interesting, that show ended in 1986, her last sitcom, Life with Lucy, but after that, Lucy did not leave us until 1989, but in that 3-year period, you really did not see her guest starring on anything. I don't know that she, I mean, maybe a Bob Hope special here and there, but it was nothing, she didn't do a guest spot on a sitcom, she didn't do, things like that. Was there a reason? Was she getting offers at that point?
Well, she did get some offers, and most of them were old people in nursing homes, and that's not the kind of work Lucy wanted to do. Maybe she was old, but she was well and healthy. And I think Lucy was offered, you mentioned Golden Girls. I believe I heard stories that might have been suggested to Lucy, but people said, and Lucy was wanted to work, but people would say, "Oh, you don't want to do that show. It's not your cup of tea or something." And she was offered a few other roles that would have been perfect for Lucy. I think Lucy was offered the part of Driving Miss Daisy.
Really?
And somebody, I think mainly her husband, says, "Oh, you don't want that show. That's not your style," or something like that. So anyway, Lucy was discouraged from doing a few things that she could have done very well. But that was so many years ago, I've forgotten most of the details.
You know, it's very, and of course, Jessica Tandy went on to win the Oscar for Driving Miss Daisy.
Oh, absolutely, and was absolutely perfect.
Absolutely. Want to talk also to this time period. There is a bit of footage online. Also in 1986, Lucy was awarded the Kennedy Center Honors for Lifetime Achievement. And Robert Stack comes out. Now, at this point, Desi has not passed away, but he's very ill at this point. And in this speech, Robert Stack reads a letter from Desi in which he says, "Give Lucy 90% of the credit for I Love Lucy." And I Love Lucy was not only a title. And she, you can tell, just about loses it up there in the upper deck where she was sitting. Were you there that night when that went on?
Well, I wasn't there that night, but I have friends that were. And I certainly do remember it. Lucy always felt that they should have given Desi the equal honor, like the year before, or they had done the same for a couple. Oh golly, have I forgotten the names of a famous acting couple? They were given that Kennedy Center honor together, And Lucy felt Desi should have been included in that honor. She always did. Now, he gave her credit, but Lucy gave Desi credit for all their success. She did as long as she lived. She says, I can do funny things, but Desi was a visionary, and Lucy always told people that. And I was there. He was still very much active when I started. In fact, he was still working like shows like The Mothers-in-Law. And Lucy went to him for advice, as I've already told you, because she knew what he said would be the truth or the facts. Lucy gave Desi credit for their success because he was such a innovator and a visionary.
It's interesting because Lucy, of course, was remarried to Gary Morton by that point, and she had been married to Desi during the I Love Lucy run. What was their relationship when you were around? Did she still love him? A lot of people said that was the love of her life.
Well, I certainly agree with that. Did you ever see the movie that Lucy Arnaz and her husband, Larry Luckinbill, did, a TV special? In fact, they won an Emmy for it, called The Home Movies.
Yes.
When Lucy Arnaz was, I was with her, we had taken inventory of the house before we closed it up, and Lucy Jr. found all those wonderful home movies. They had both remarried by the time I started working, and the kids were very, very young. And so these home movies were sitting there in the dens. They hadn't shown them. I mean, they were remarried. The kids didn't sit and watch their parents when they were young and very much in love. And but Lucy Arnaz said, we've got to do something with these home movies. And at the end of that, when Lucy and Desi were in the pool at Lucy's home with Lucy Arnaz's firstborn child, Simon, was just an infant in the pool. And that scene where Lucy reaches up to touch Desi's hair, oh, well, it's very obvious she still loved that man. And it's no secret that he was very much, in fact, Lucy would say in interviews several times that they met during the filming of Too Many Girls, and Lucy said that was the problem. So I'm not telling tales out of school. Everybody knew about that.
You know, Wanda.
But they were very much... They couldn't live together, I suppose, but they were very much each other's love of their life, I'm sure.
You know, Wanda, when it comes to Lucille Ball, especially later in life, 70s and 80s, she had a look, she had a persona. Of course, it was the red hair or orange hair or whatever it happened to be at that time. Did she ever... was that who she was in real life? Did she look that way? Was that Lucille Ball off the camera?
Well, her hair color was certainly Sidney Gilliloff, I think is his name, the hairstylist at MGM, who's very famous. His name's on every credit there is. He's the one that made her a redhead, I guess, in the late 40s. And Lucy was, like I said, she was glamorous. She was funny, but she was not Lucy Ricardo, even though that was a beloved character that Lucy played better than anyone ever could have. She just, Lucy, all those crazy stunts that Lucy Ricardo went through during all the years of I Love Lucy, there was a very good reason for it. Like, she wanted that new hat or that pretty little pink sweater. There was a real good reason for her to do the stunts she did to try to get something like that. And she played it for real. That's why it still works after all these years. You can watch those shows and still laugh out of them.
But anyway,
you asked what she was like. She was very warm and very loving, and I stayed with her 27 years, and I'm still involved in my mind with them because of my closeness to the kids. She was just a remarkable talent and a lovely person.
You know, obviously we all get older, and certainly Lucy did, but she still maintained activity. She did several appearances around the country and things on, she did Stone Pillow and Bob Hope specials. But was she a redhead at that point at home, or was that just something she did when she went out?
Oh, no, she was still a redhead, very beautiful and very glamorous, even though she could, she kind of, when she first started in movies, Lucy did many, many movies before I Love Lucy ever started, and in those days of beautiful actors didn't necessarily want to take a pie in the face or a pratfall or... But Lucy, if it was funny, Lucy would do it, and she got that kind of reputation. If you want a beautiful girl to do some slapstick, it's Lucille Ball. And that her whole career was, if it was funny, Lucy would do it. And she proved that many, many times.
Absolutely. Wanda, her death is very interesting, and I want to kind of go through this. She appeared on an Academy Awards telecast in 1989 with Bob Hope a month prior to her death. Was she okay when she did the Academy Awards broadcast?
Oh, yes, she was. She looked like $1 million, as she always did. she had not been ill. She'd had a mild stroke. It didn't leave a devastating state with her. And she was healthy, except for the problems of aging, as we all have. And boy, I certainly find it now at my age, which is a bit more than 70s. But she was healthy, and I tell that to people. They say, "Oh, was Lucy old and sick and suffering?" I said, "No. If you want to just watch that Academy Awards with Bob Hope, because they presented an award to somebody." And afterwards, Lucy went out and did the celebrating like everyone else did at the Academy Awards. And then she had a ruptured aorta near the heart, and Gary rushed her to the hospital, to Cedars, and they repaired that ruptured aorta with tissue. And she was on the road to recovery when she had a second one. And she was in the hospital and... care, nurses, private duty, but there was no help on that second one. It just was instant that Lucy died. And she was on the road to recovery at that time. I didn't get to see her because the kids and Gary were the only ones that were allowed in the room. But that's what happened.
When you got the news that she had passed away, because I remember that time very well, people did think, I mean, she had had this procedure, people were very worried about that, but then it was, she was going to be okay, the hospital was saying that, the doctors were saying that, and people had kind of stepped aside and thought, oh, okay, Lucy's going to be fine, and then you woke up that morning, and she's gone overnight. It was a gigantic thing. How did you get news of her passing?
Well, Gary called me at home about, I think, around 6 in the morning. And I knew when I heard his voice, I knew something had happened bad. And he asked me to go to the house as soon as I could and to contact Frank, our beloved Frank, who was Lucy's driver. He worked for Lucy longer than I did. He started when they were still together driving limousines. And tell Frank to go to the house as soon as he could. And Tom Watson worked for us. Tom is a wonderful man. He very much involved in Lucy's life over the years. And Tom was, he asked me, Gary asked me to tell Tom to go to the office and do the same thing, just stay there answering the phones. So I went to the house as soon as I could get there and was there at the house until very late that night, just answering phone calls from all over the world, from everybody, from family to news reporters to friends, with the news. And that's where we went from then on.
Do you remember the last time you spoke with her?
Well, I spoke with her daily. And I just don't remember the last conversation. It was certainly about things like, well, you have to do this, you have to do that. Here's a whole list of things for you to sign, pictures, letters. That's when I went to the set or any other location, I had a folder full of work, that letters to sign, reminders to talk about, and I'd just wait till she had a break in the filming to go to her and do the work involved, and then I'd just go back and wait until the next time she had a break. That's how our days were those last years.
Was Lucy happy at that point in her life, after the series did not go very well? She was getting older, as we all do. Was she as happy as she had been in the 60s and 70s?
Well, that's hard to say. That's very hard to say. Lucy was happy when she was working. She was happy. By that time, Lucy Arnaz had three young children. And Lucy enjoyed her grandchildren. I've heard interviews with Kate, Lucy's, Arnaz's daughter, Kate, who talks about how her grandmother would give her baths in little satin pajamas and do her hair, just like a doting grandmother and a little toddler child. So Lucy was happy in that respect. She did want to work. She wanted to work, but there was no work coming. In fact, her scripts were usually things that she wouldn't and couldn't do. Happy as happy. I don't know, Scott. That's hard to answer.
What would you know about Lucille Ball that none of us would know because you spent time with her away from the camera, for those of us who only know her through television?
Well, she was warm and wonderful and devoted to her family and friends. She was not, people still to this day tell me, well, she must have been difficult. Well, she was not difficult to work for, as long as you did your job. And she didn't tolerate not, I don't mean, the word's not sloppy. I mean, you do your job and you do it well, and that's all Lucy required.
Did she, like, in the 80s, because there was a boom of sitcoms, Golden Girls, Cosby Show, Roseanne, all of these shows premiered before Lucy died. Did she watch shows? Did she like people? Did she mention things that she liked?
Yeah, she watched. She was a big fan of John Ritter, for instance. John did one of those Last Life with Lucy shows just because of their affection for each other. And Lucy watched TV, but her favorite shows were shows like Jeopardy. She was friends with Merv Griffin, too, over the years. And that, I think that was one of her favorite shows, was Jeopardy.
When we look at the movie, I want to talk for a second about the movie Stone Pillow. This came in the mid-80s, right before she went back to do Life with Lucy, and she played a homeless lady in this movie. What was that experience like, and why did she take that role?
Well, why did she take it was she wanted to work, and that original idea was a little changed by the time the movie finished, and that again was changes that Lucy did herself. She did it because she wanted to work, and it really caused her some physical distress. I mean, It was filmed in the middle of summertime in New York City, and she was heavily made coats and wool gloves and hats, and in the heat of New York City, she really did suffer some illnesses during that time. But she recovered once she got out of all that heavy clothes and makeup in the heat of the day. She did it because she wanted to work. And I remember seeing it. She was very good in it. But it wasn't what Lucy could have done with all her glamourness and her talent. Like I said, I think it was the wrong choice for her. But she wanted to work, and she did it.
When it came to her character, the Lucy character, which she seemed to do very well all throughout her career, did she, certainly Stone Pillow was a departure from that, and Mame was a departure from that, but she seemed to do that quite a bit. Did she like doing that as the years went on, doing the Lucy character?
Oh, yeah. Only on, like I said earlier, that was a beloved character that Lucy did better than anyone else could have done. She loved playing that, but she played it for truth. I mean, she didn't think she was ditzy doing it. There was a good reason, and that's what made it so believable. That's what makes it still, we can still laugh at it today.
She and Vivian Vance and Gail Gordon seem to have very long-term relationships on the screen. What was her... We talked a little bit about Vivian Vance earlier on, but what was her relationship with Vivian and Gail Gordon?
Well, she trusted them for their talent, their ability to work. She appreciated them, and she was always happy. She was glad to work with them because she trusted them. They played off each other just wonderfully.
Gail Gordon was in that last series with Lucy. Was he okay with that? Was he comfortable with doing that show?
Well, I don't know how comfortable he was, because he was much older than Lucy. In fact, there was some talk about he was old enough that they really had trouble getting him insured for the part. But again, just as Lucy, he was a man who was incredibly talented and a wonderful gentleman. He really was a true gentleman. So I don't know. I didn't have any discussion with Gail as to whether he thought the script was as bad as I thought it was. I don't know that. He just did his job. Even at that age and the work it was, he did his job as best he could.
You know, Wanda, obviously I Love Lucy is the one that everybody goes back to, that everybody loves, that still plays all the time. But when you look at the series that she did, even though you weren't there when she was doing I Love Lucy, when was she having the most fun? Which series did she like doing the most?
Well, I don't know which she liked doing the most for many different reasons, but I think she was so beautiful. When I started working for her in 1963, it was the second season of The Lucy Show. She was recently married to Gary Morton, and she was happy and beautiful, and the scripts were... Those first few seasons of The Lucy Show were really very good scripts. And then when they moved the series from the East back to the West Coast, and Vivian just got tired of commuting, because she did not live in L.A. Most of the time she worked with Lucy, she commuted from Connecticut or Santa Fe. And she just said, I don't want to commute anymore. And she would just do a guest spot now and then those last three seasons of The Lucy Show. But Lucy was very beautiful and very happy in those years.
You know about The Lucy Show, and different than I Love Lucy. It was in color. During that time, the show went into color, so you got to see what Lucy fully looked like and how she was dressed. But also, people did that Lucy show who did not do John Wayne, I believe, was on the Lucy show.
John Wayne did all three of her series. She loved working with tall, good-looking men, that's for sure. And John Wayne did, I think he did even Here's Lucy, but I know he did an I Love Lucy and the Lucy show, and Lucy liked working with John Wayne.
Probably her longest association with somebody other than her co-stars was probably Bob Hope. She was still doing Bob Hope specials into the 1980s. Did she have a good relationship with Bob Hope?
Oh, yes. She was very, very fond of working with Bob Hope, except she would say, oh, he wants me to do another series, and he could always talk her into it. Because she did like Bob. She liked Jack Benny. She was next door neighbors with Jack Benny for many years. And she liked Jackie Gleason. He did, I think, just one of her shows. But Lucy really did like Bob Hope. That's why when she did that Academy Awards, it was only because Bob twisted her arm and talked her into it.
You know, it's interesting. There was a story years ago that she was doing a Bob Hope special. I believe it would have been after Life with Lucy, so sometime in the late 80s, where she had a dance number, and that this may have propelled one of her, or the stroke that she had. Is that true?
Well, I don't remember that. I think that she might have done that I think it was an Air Force base, someplace that she did it. But I don't remember that, Scott. I don't know that anything specifically caused her to have a stroke. She had high blood pressure. So I don't really know that story you just said. It might have happened. I don't recall it.
Wanda, when you look at these magazines that are on the grocery store checkout, she's still brought up from time to time in the tabloids. There are books written about her, museums. She's in a class all by herself. It's right there with Elvis Presley and the Beatles. She's just one of those people that everybody knows, everybody's going to know, long after we're all gone. You knew this person. How do you describe Lucille Ball?
Well, just warm and generous and loving and very talented. Now, an awful lot of those books, I guess I've read most of them, if not all. A lot of those people never met Lucy. They just rehashed old magazine articles, old stories. I still read them. I want to know what's happening, but so many people never, ever met or interviewed Lucy personally for some books that they wrote. A few did. Tom Watson wrote a book that Lucy always loved. It was mostly a picture book. Tom's not an actor, but he was a lifelong fan, and he ended up working on that last series we did. And Kathleen Brady wrote a book, and Kathleen did interview Lucy. But some of them, the people just never even met her, and they still write a book about her.
Mm. Wanda, it's always a pleasure to talk with you, and we're just scratching the surface here. There's so much more with Lucy. I hope you do come back with us, because it's always fun to talk about, really, the First Lady of Television.
Oh, I love talking about Lucy, Scott. Anytime you want to listen to me, I'm ready to talk about Lucy.
Perfect. I will take you up on that. Thank you, Wanda.
Thank you for calling, Scott. Nice to talk to you.
You too. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Wanda Clark, the personal secretary for Lucille Ball for 28 years, the last 28 years of her life. And remember, October 15th, 1951, The Lucy Show debuted, making this month the 70th anniversary of that. I Love Lucy, excuse me, not The Lucy Show. We'll be back in about 10 minutes.
Questions, and we'll take your comments about our study. So please join me this Sunday, every Sunday, at 11.